1 Timothy 6, verse 15 to 16 says, "Which he will manifest in his own time, he who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in an approachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be the honor and the everlasting power. Amen." Our God is the Almighty God. He is all-sufficient. He is all-powerful. He is, like this verse says, He alone has immortality. He is the Lord of Lords. We stand nowhere next to him, really. We have no stature next to the stature of God. There's one sovereign, one king. We like to question him and what he does, but he is the one that has all of the answers. He's the giver of life. So he made us all, and he can take away life as he pleases. And all is up to him. And yet, we as humans are still so arrogant to question him. Our God is really just crazy amazing. To think every single molecule, I don't know what that smallest particle is, I forget what it's called, but every single thing that we can see, he created, both here and in the spiritual realm. We are nothing without him, literally. It's not an overstatement. He made us all, and he can destroy us. He can take us out if he wants to, if that's his will. And sometimes we forget that he is God. He is our friend, but he is God. He is the Almighty God. He is all-powerful. And he should be revered. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 11 says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself." Many times in the scripture, we're brought back to the fact that the Lord, he made everything. He owns everything. He is above all. So I'd like to get members of the congregation to just read a few of these examples. Can you all take out your cell phones or Bibles? Bibles or cell phones. Maybe I should say it in that order. Not to type messages on. You have Bibles on your cell phones, right? Okay, Josh, can you find Psalm 93 verse 1. Stace, can you get Exodus 15 verse 11? What? Did I say 15 verse 11? Yeah. Anthony, do you have a Bible? No? Okay, no, it's fine. Mom? You don't have your Bible. Auntie Shirley, can you... did she? Okay. Mom, can you look for... Exodus 15 verse 67. I have lots, so you better listen carefully. Exodus 15 verse 67, then Auntie Shirley, Psalm 111 verse 3. Who else has a Bible here? None of you, only the front row. The good Christians are sitting in the front here. Auntie Kathy, can you look for Revelations 4 verse 1. Okay, and then I think I have so many more examples. It's just a crazy amount, so we'll stay with that. Okay, who has Josh? Do you need a mic? There's one over there. So if you can just all read it all together.
All together?
Not all together, just one after the other.
Sorry. It's 93 verse 1. Says, "The Lord reigns. He's clothed with majesty and splendor. The Lord has clothed and encircled himself with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved."
Please do listen.
Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders.
Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble.
Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever.
After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place.
Can you go to verse 3?
Verse 3.
So from 1 to 3, sorry.
Oh, 1, 2, 3, okay, yeah. Sorry. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like jasper and a sardis stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald.
So the last one is a bit different, but the Bible paints this very, very specific picture of God in his glory. Yes, God is love, and I will get to that later, but God is, I mean, none of us can actually comprehend how amazing he is and how big he is and how powerful he is. But he's definitely not, sometimes I feel like that we see God as a human, and he doesn't fail like a human. He's not on the same level as us. No one is like him. He's above all. Now I lost my thought. But, and so in this, I want to say, we all have our reasons that we serve the Lord. But just his glory should be enough. Just his pure majesty, just the very fact that we're here, being, living, should be enough that we serve him. Because he created all. He is our Savior, but he is majestic. Even before he was our Savior, he's God. So we should revere him. And he... like, there's no questioning that. I mean, he created us. We, like I said earlier, we are nothing without him. And yet he saved us. This glorious, glorious God who didn't need to, he didn't need to come and save us. He, you know, he could have just wiped us all out and made perfect people that would worship him. But he chose not to. I mean, even the rocks and the trees and the earth would worship him and give him the glory and honor that he deserves. But yet he saved us. Josh, can you find Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 5? Actually, I think I might have it here. I have it, it's fine. God, who at various times, in various ways, spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in the last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he has also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Father, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So although God is almighty, he sent his Son Jesus. And Jesus came, even though he was God and all-powerful and able to change everything, he came and he laid his own life down for us. And Father God sent his Son and endured that pain of losing his Son, and not losing his Son, but of his Son hanging on the cross bearing all of our sin and our disgustingness and our arrogance and our questioning him, he hung on the cross and died for our sins, that we may be free, that one day we may have a chance to actually go to heaven and experience God in the spiritual realm. Sorry. It's crazy how much mercy and grace he has, how much love he has for us. That despite all that he is, he still cares about each one of us. He still knows each one of our problems. This morning we sang that song, Death Was Arrested, and I'd like to read the whole song, so please do bear with me. But I think the gravity of what Jesus did is so crazy, and we take it for granted. We really do. I mean, do we really imagine what the Father went through? Do we really imagine what Jesus went through? So I'm going to just read the lyrics. And alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin, your love made a way and let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began. Now ash was redeemed, only beauty remains, and my orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet and my feet rose to dance when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It is your endless love pouring out, It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made me new, now life begins with you. Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom you faithfully bore. He cancelled my debt and he called me his friend when death was arrested and my life began. Our Savior displayed on a criminal's cross, and darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand when death was arrested and my life began. What love and mercy and kindness that Jesus would die for us. I don't know, it just blows my mind. I don't know if you guys get it, but it's just this glorious God, and he gave it all for us, puny humans who have, you know, yes, we're puny humans, like Thor says. Well, you understand what I'm saying. But that he would give his own son, give his own life, that we may be made right with him, that we may spend eternity with him. And that is our greatest goal, is to spend the rest of eternity with him. Sorry. So what an amazing God that we serve. I know my message has been short and it's not something you don't know, but just try to take that gravity of what Jesus did for us, what kind of God we serve, how great he is, and actually live like it. Take it home and think about it every day, because that's the only way that we're going to be able to run the race to the end, is realizing what gravity it is that we have a God who is so majestic, and yet he loves us. Thank you. I think we can actually sing a song after this, but anyway, I'm going to just close in prayer. Father God, I want to thank you for just how wonderful you are, just how glorious you are, and the fact that you love us and that you see us, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll etch this in our hearts, Father God. May it be something that we take around with us day to day. Your great mercy and kindness for us, Lord. I pray for this in the precious name of Jesus, Lord. Amen.